This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
It's time for Speak Legal, conversations with Community Law Otago.
And this morning, Nina Webb from Community Law Otago joins us to talk about the role of the International Criminal Court. Morena, nice to have you with us again, Nina.
Morena, thank you for having me.
Right, so let's start, as we always do, with a little bit of definition around the topic. Tell us, what is the International Criminal Court?
Yeah, so the International Criminal Court, or ICC, is a permanent court established to prosecute individuals responsible for the most serious crimes of international concern. So this includes things like genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and then the crime of aggression. So unlike other tribunals, the ICC is not focused on states or organizations. It only prosecutes individuals, typically political or military leaders, who are considered the most responsible for the breach of international law.
How did the idea of the International Criminal Court come about?
Yeah, so the concept of international criminal justice has evolved through several stages over several years. First, there were early proposals after World War I. Then after the Nuremberg and Tokyo trials after World War II, and then there were ad hoc tribunals, which are temporary tribunals in the 1990s for things like Rwanda and former Yugoslavia, and then eventually the establishment of the Permanent International Criminal Court in 2002 under the Rome Statute.
So Nina, what kinds of crimes does the ICC cover?
Yeah, so the ICC investigates and tries four core international crimes. And so that is genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and then the newest addition is the crime of aggression. So each of these crimes normally has a specific legal definition and elements, and the court focuses on the most responsible individual for such crime. An example of the definition is crimes against humanity is defined as an act committed as part of a widespread or systematic attack directed against any civilian population with knowledge of the attack.
Okay. So who can be tried before the ICC?
Yeah, so the ICC can only try natural persons, so that's individual human beings aged 18 or over at the time of the alleged crimes. And there's also no immunity for heads of state or government officials under international law. So this was a very important feature of the court.
So how does the ICC gain its jurisdiction over a situation?
Yeah, so this can be a little trickier, but there are four main ways that the ICC can gain jurisdiction. The first one is a member state can refer the situation, and so a member state is a country. And then the second one is that the UN Security Council can refer it. Then the ICC prosecutor can initiate an investigation with judicial approval. And lastly, a non-member state can accept jurisdiction. So jurisdiction is based on nationality or territory unless the UN Security Council refers it.
Now, there's a term, complementarity. What does that mean?
So complementarity is a key term for the ICC, and it means that the ICC acts as a court of last resort. So the ICC will only proceed with a case if national courts are unwilling or unable to genuinely investigate or prosecute. So this ensures that domestic justice systems retain the primary responsibility for accountability over international courts.
Now, Nina, we know there's a lot of conversation around whether or not the ICC should be taking some actions right now. What are the challenges of prosecuting international crimes?
Yeah, so challenges include lack of cooperation from the states, especially those who are not members of the ICC. Also political pressure, especially from large, powerful nations, and also gathering reliable evidence in conflict zones. Additionally, proving intent, especially for crimes like genocide, can also prove extremely difficult.
So has the ICC been effective, would you say?
Yeah, so over the time, the ICC has opened numerous investigations and issued multiple arrest warrants, but it's only secured a very limited number of convictions, and critics often point to issues of enforcement and selective justice. However, supporters of the ICC argue that it is an important tool for accountability and deterring future atrocities.
What's the relationship between the ICC and Aotearoa New Zealand?
Yeah, so New Zealand has ratified the Rome Statute, and this means that they've signed it, and is genuinely supportive of the ICC's work. Although New Zealand has not ratified the latest amendment, which activates jurisdiction over the crime of aggression, it still remains committed to international justice efforts.
Can you perhaps give us an example of where the ICC has been successful in a prosecution and conviction?
Yeah, so one successful prosecution occurred in 2024, June 26th, and this was for Mr. Al-Hassan, and he was convicted of crimes against humanity, of torture, persecution, and other inhumane acts, such as war crimes of torture, outrages upon personal dignity, mutilation, cruel treatment, and passing sentences without previous judgment pronounced by a regularly constituted court. And he was sentenced for 10 years.
Mm. Any final thoughts on the ICC?
Yeah, so the ICC has been an interesting experiment in international justice, and it is trying to move beyond impunity and hold powerful individuals accountable. It also presents us with an insight into the international stage and how other states interact with each other during these times of crisis. And the ICC remains a controversial yet critical part of that conversation. As its legitimacy continues to be tested, its power may ultimately lie not in the number of convictions it delivers, but in the warning it sends to other states.
Indeed. And again, a very topical conversation that you bring to us today, Nina, as part of our regular Speak Legal segment here on ORFM. Thanks so much, Nina, for that. We look forward to further conversations with Community Law Otago next week.
Community Law Otago, free legal advice and support for the people of Otago. Advice clinic times are available from the website, communitylawotago.com. We're based at 169 Princes Street. To make an appointment, call 03 474 1922. Community Law Otago, proud to bring you Speak Legal. Check out the podcast at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.